Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Scripture lesson this morning is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them are seeking their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's worth you know. How like a son with a father he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I will also come soon. Still, I think it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for all of you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. He was indeed so ill that he nearly died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, in order that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. Welcome him then in the Lord with all joy, and honor such people, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for those services that you could not give me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Chris. Well, we are still working our way through Paul's letter to the Philippians. We are learning Paul's lessons for that congregation, that newly formed congregation that was still struggling, but also achieving so much in the city of Philippi. We've learned and we've talked about the circumstances of Paul writing this letter, that he was in prison, not really sure where he was, probably in Ephesus, just based on the timing of the letter, who was with him, and some of the background that we get from the book of Acts. We think that Paul was in Ephesus, which was over in Turkey. Philippi, on the other hand, was in Macedonia, which is northern Greece. And so they were not very close together. I think I read about 400 miles. And so we've reached the part of the letter that really honestly shows that it is a letter. It's very personal. So I read this section today, and I thought, well, what am I going to say about this? And so I decided that I was just going to do a Bible study today, Dina style. If some of you have been in Bible study with me, then these questions will look familiar to you. When I do a Bible study, these are the three questions that I ask. First, I ask what? What is this passage really saying? What does it say in light of the history, the background of this book? You know, what kind of book is it? Who was it written to? Who wrote it? When was it written? Maybe sometimes look at the Greek and translate difficult words. But basically, you know, look at what does it say? And then I ask, so what? Okay, so what does it mean? Because the meaning is not always the literal saying. It's not always what it literally says. And so the so what section, I look in light of the entire biblical canon. If I take this passage and look at it in light of the entire letter to the Philippians, the entire New Testament, and even sometimes the entire Bible, I can get at the meaning of what Paul or Jesus or whoever the writer of that passage was and what they are trying to convey to me, not only in the literal words. And then the third phase of a Bible study for me is asking now what? So I know what it says, and I kind of know what it means, what the author meant for it to say. Now, what do I do with that knowledge? And sometimes that's the most important part of my Bible study, because if I don't do anything with it, if I haven't been changed by it, if it hasn't spurred me into some sort of action or new way of thinking, then why did I do Bible study in the first place? So the now what is the takeaway? What do we do now? So I thought those are the three questions that we will look at with this passage of the book of Philippians. What? Well, as I said earlier, this passage really lets you know that this is a letter. Paul mentions real people. These are real, honest to goodness, living people that we have evidence of. People who were flesh and blood, who were just like me and you, who were trying to serve Christ in the best way that they could, who were friends of Paul. When you read the letters of Paul, you realize that despite all of his shortcomings, sometimes we're told that Paul was very short-tempered, that he didn't speak well, he had some sort of speech impediment. But we realize that he made friends wherever he went. He was one of those magnetic personalities, I think, that people were just enthralled by what he had to say, probably because he was so filled with the Spirit of Christ that it just came out of him in an irresistible way that people were drawn towards him. And so we find out in this small passage about some of Paul's friends and his relationships that he had developed with them. Now, the first is Timothy. If you've read the letters of Paul in the book of Acts, you'll see Timothy's name quite often. Timothy was a constant companion of Paul. He was a young man. He was probably just a teenager when Paul first met him. What we do know about Timothy is that he was born to a Greek father and a Jewish mother, and that his mother and his grandmother became Christians very early on, so that Timothy was raised in a Christian household, which would have been pretty unusual in this day and time, 30 years or so after the death of Christ, for someone to have been raised as a Christian. But Timothy was, from what we know, raised as a Christian, and his mother and his grandmother, Paul tells us in many passages, were great examples of women of faith for Timothy. And so Paul met Timothy when he was quite young, and Paul was an older gentleman, and they became constant companions. As Paul tells us in this passage of Philippians, like a father and son, a mentor and teacher, a rabbi and an apostle, Paul was there to guide Timothy, to teach him, to encourage him so that Timothy could take on his own ministry. And we see later on, especially in the letters to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, that Timothy is taking on this ministry and spreading it beyond the bounds of where Paul himself could go. This is how Christianity spread, from one person to another, one person mentoring a new Christian, and then sending them on to spread. And Christianity spread like wildfire. In only a generation, it spread throughout the entire known Western world. So Timothy was a very important figure. And we know that Paul loved Timothy like a son, and that Timothy had that special concern and compassion for other Christians. As Paul said, that only Timothy was an apostle, that a disciple that was generally concerned for the Philippians' welfare. He wanted to send Timothy to them because he knew that Timothy would care for them, would take care of them, would care for the Philippian church just like Paul would if Paul wasn't in prison. And so he tells the Philippians that I will send Timothy as soon as I can. But in the meantime, he's going to send this guy Epaphroditus. One of those great Greek names. But now Epaphroditus, is not mentioned nearly as much as Timothy. We don't know a whole bunch about him, but we can gather some clues from other parts of the letter to the Philippians, especially the fourth chapter. What we figure out, looking at the entire book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, is that Epaphroditus was a Philippian. He was a member of the church in Philippi. And he had been sent as a messenger to Ephesus, or wherever Paul was in prison, to bring a gift. Now, this was probably clothes, food, money to bribe the guards, letters from other Christians. Back then, if you were thrown in a Roman jail and friends didn't bring you food, you starved to death. And so churches from all over were finding out that Paul was in prison and were sending him gifts and sending him basically the necessities that he needed to stay alive. And so Epaphroditus had been chosen from Philippi to bring this gift. Once he arrived in Ephesus, however, he got sick, very sick, sick almost to the point of death. And that is an interesting thing because Paul says Epaphroditus was not worried that he was sick and that he might die, but he was concerned that his friends in Philippi were upset, that they had heard that he was sick and they were worried about him, and then that made him feel bad. You can only imagine that kind of compassion for others where I don't worry about myself, but I don't want you to worry about me. And so Paul says, for that reason, now that Epaphroditus has recovered, and maybe not even recovered enough to be safe to travel, he wanted to go back to Philippi to show his friends that he was okay. So Paul says, I want to send Timothy, but in the meantime, I can't really send Timothy right now. Timothy probably still had work to do in Ephesus, but I can send back Epaphroditus so that you will know that he's okay. And he calls Epaphroditus my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, messenger, that word is also the same word as apostle, and minister to my need. Another great friend of Paul's that he's willing to send as a messenger and an emissary of himself. So what? This passage from Philippians is one of those that you kind of read and you go, yeah, so he had friends. And he's sending his friends. It's not really telling us how to live a Christian life. It's really not giving us those explicit lessons. But I think there's something to be taken from that. It's about relationship. For Paul, relationship was primary. Relationship was everything. Because Paul realized that our God is a God of relationship. This symbol is a stained glass from a church in France. It's a symbol of the Trinity. Our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our God is constantly in relationship. Our God actually does not exist outside of a relationship. Our God is a God of relationship, the Trinity. And that was God's primary purpose in creating us, to be in relationship with us, to spread in that relationship. And then God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and created women, and continued on and created these dynamics of relationship and bonds that are so important. Sometimes we forget that it's just me and God. Me and God. I can be a Christian by myself. I can be a Christian off here in the middle of the lake or up on the mountain or on the golf course. But God says no. We are constantly in relationship, and you are made to be in relationship. Two are better than one because they have good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Three types of relationship are primary in the Bible, human relationships. Not only our relationship with God and God's relationship with us, but family. Even in-laws. This is a quote from Ruth, who pledged to her mother-in-law, Naomi, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. If it was not for family, the Hebrew people would not exist because they are descended from one family, from Abraham and his descendants, and on We are a family, all of us. Friends. We see the friendships that Paul's developed with Timothy and Epaphroditus and many, many other people that he mentions in his letters, but Jonathan and David. Jonathan was the son of David's enemy, Saul. Saul was trying to kill David, but Jonathan and David had a bond beyond brotherhood. The soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Friends to the end. The third type of relationship that's very important in the Bible is this mentor-student relationship. And we get that with Paul and Timothy and many, many places. I mean, all great leaders in the Bible had a mentor. They had someone teaching them what it means to be a leader and to love God. Elijah chose Elisha to be his student. And this quote, Elijah is going to Bethel and to confront the priests of Baal, of all these Canaanite, the wicked gods who worship the Canaanite, the priests who worship the Canaanite gods. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be terrible. And Elijah says, stay here, to Elisha. The Lord sent me to Bethel. But Elisha, the student, says, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they both go to Bethel. And that pattern follows through the entire book of 2 Kings, where Elijah says to his student, you know, this is really dangerous. You stay here. I'm going to go on ahead. And Elisha says, no, because I learned from following you. And when Elijah is taken up into the air, into the heavens, he leaves behind his cloak, his mantle. And it's Elisha who puts on the mantle of Elijah and continues his work. Now what? So we've seen what the letter actually said about these relationships. We've seen what the Bible, a little bit, about what the Bible says about human relationships. Now what are we going to do with that? What are we going to take away from this small, kind of obscure passage in the book of Philippians? For me, it's a time to look at the relationships in my life, to really examine them. Family, friends, and this mentor-teacher relationship that seems to be really important in the Bible. How are my relationships? Are there any that need mending? Are there any that I've ignored for a while? That's what convicts me sometimes, is I have a lot of friends, but I also have a lot of Facebook friends. And Facebook friends are not really friends. When all they see is your posts and funny cat pictures, how much can you really nurture that relationship? So I think it helps us to step back and take a look at the kind of relationships we're building in our lives. Are these really strong relationships that are going to carry us? Because we all need carrying sometime. I like this Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need each other. We need relationships. We need to be in relationship with our family, our friends, and find someone to mentor and someone to mentor you. I think we all need to be both a student and a teacher all the time. Whether it's a formal relationship like mentoring at an elementary school or a high school, you know, a lot of folks here do that at Malvern. Maybe it's being a table leader for the confirmation class this fall. They need mentors to come in and lead the tables and help these little sixth graders grow. Maybe it's teaching in Sunday school. Maybe it's informal, though. Maybe it's just being a friend to the kid next door who doesn't have a dad. Maybe it's just reaching out to a younger colleague at work who's just starting and seems to be a little lost, wants to know how to move up in the organization, how to really get things done. We all need to be mentoring and being mentored at the same time. C.S. Lewis, we love quoting him around here, but the guy really had a lot to say. The next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. surrounding ourselves like Paul did with people of good faith, of strong courage, of compassion and care, so that we can be lifted up and carried along with them.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.